The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
So now we have the inflation crisis. We had no inflation, very, very low. We have the Afghanistan crisis, the worst and most embarrassing moment in the history of the United States. The most embarrassing moment. We have the economy crisis. We have the, and this is really the woke military leadership crisis. When President Xi of China looks and sees what happened in Afghanistan, they don't have fear of us anymore. They don't have respect for us anymore. Now our country's being totally destroyed. There's been such destruction. It's not even believable. And you know, you see it every day, practically every day. It's all promises. It's all things that they never had any intention of keeping. What the Joe Biden approval ratings have now crashed well into the 20s. That's a low one. And some people say they're actually much below that. How do you do that? The only one lower is Kamala. On top of all of that, 2 days ago, the Supreme Court rightly declared that Joe Biden's very sinister and malicious, and I don't know what they're doing. They're hurting us so badly, but getting out, well, they might be evil. Yeah, they might be. They're either evil or they're incompetent.
Of course, we'd say they're pretty evil. We've covered that at length on this show. That, of course, is President Donald Trump. He was in Florence, Arizona over the weekend and Saturday night, to be precise. And a virtual blackout of the event. We'll talk more about Florence and the size of the crowd. And I mean, when the media say, yep, nobody's covering it and Trump is finished, you know. You know exactly the opposite is true. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining our growing audience. We are also appreciative of our broadcast partner, CRN Digital Talk Radio. You can get to the live audio stream of this show on Channel 3 at CRN Digital Talk Radio. And then they've got all kinds of replay options on Channel 3 and Channel 6, as I covered on Friday. So check out the CRN Digital Talk Radio website to see our little advert and to look at the TV schedule or the audio schedule and track down when you can listen to this program. Don't forget about Roku. That's a really good option that quite a few of you have said that you really like, that you really enjoy. Of course, you can download the podcast, the audio podcast of these shows on any of your Apple devices. And so there's plenty of ways to get to this show. Of course, the best way is to come to our very own website, and you can get the full video stream of this show every day. It plays at 11 a.m. or 5 minutes after the hour. Here in Central Standard Time of the United States, 12 noon out on the East Coast and 9 a.m. on the West Coast. That's at our website, thetrumpet.com. Just go to thetrumpet.com/, you can see right at the front page, you can see the little box to the right that has all of our most recent programs. But if you want to go to the live stream page, just go to thetrumpet.com/live, and that'll take you to the live stream page, and you'll also be able to see some of the previous programs that we've posted there. Today is January 17th, by the way. This is the day 29 years ago that my father's program, The Key of David, started for the very first time, the weekend of January 17, 1993. Can hardly believe it's been nearly 30 years since the start of The Key of David. Another note of interest, our new website, we launched it just yesterday. That's the ArmstrongMazar.com website, or it's representing the Armstrong Mazar Institute of Biblical Archaeology. Just type in at your browser, type in Armstrong Mazar, M-A-Z-A-R, just as one word, armstrongmazar.com, and that'll take you right to our newest website where you can get to our newest publication. It's actually the Watch Jerusalem publication. We've changed its name to Let the Stones Speak, and so with this January issue, you now have a magazine that focuses more on archaeology and history. It still centers around activities there in Jerusalem and the Middle East. So you can check out the new website. You can also subscribe to that new magazine as well. So Florence, Arizona, had to Google that this morning on Google Maps. And it looks like it's about an hour outside of Phoenix. So there certainly is a large city relatively close, but an hour outside of Phoenix. And the little town of Florence has about 28,000 people in it. And so here comes Donald Trump on this cold and windy night. It does get cold once in a while in Arizona. And you've got all of this activity going on. I think Arizona's in the playoffs tonight, if I remember, on the schedule. But all of these playoff games, cold, windy weather, a small town in Arizona, some would say in the middle of nowhere, and law enforcement surrounding the town had to turn cars away. Yet another Trump event. I mean, that's what these are. They're events. And yet they're ignored. The legacy media pretends as if it doesn't happen. Or they make fun of it, as Brian Stelter did on CNN yesterday. I'll get to that in just a moment. But just 28,000 people in the city, and still, a year on, people turn out in droves, and yet you listen to the talking heads. I saw a tweet about Ann Coulter just before we went to air here today. She says, Trump is finished. She used to love Trump. In Trump we trust, she said back in 2015 and 16. Now she says, oh, he's finished. He's finished. Brian Stelter says, nobody's watching. Nobody's paying attention. The networks don't cover it. Well, he's right about that. But that doesn't mean people aren't paying attention. Imagine, just try to wrap your mind around the fact that CNN is making fun of Donald Trump's ratings. CNN can barely draw a few hundred thousand people in a nation of 330 million. This is CNN. Listen to Donald Trump talking about the size of the crowd. From Saturday night, clip 7.
Oh, that's a big crowd out there. I tell you what, the cars are stretched. They say 25 miles. Now, will the press report it today? The New York Times showed a picture of the seats being put down, and nobody was here because I think the picture was taken yesterday. The cars, they just said they've never seen anything like it. It's a great honor to be with you, and I love Arizona. We had a tremendous victory in Arizona that was taken away. Last year we had a rigged election, and the proof is all over the place. We have a lot of proof, and they know it's proof. They always talk about the big lie. They're the big lie. This crowd is a massive symbol of what took place, because the people are hungry for the truth. They want their country back. They want their country back.
The crowd, he says, is a symbol. You have to just open your eyes and see what's happening and see how many are turning out and see the cars that are backed up by 25 miles. I'm sure some were coming out from Phoenix. So, like I say, there's a pretty big population center nearby. But still, to drive out to a small town an hour outside of Phoenix for a former can Barack Obama do that? Can he draw that kind of a crowd? Can any celebrity draw that kind of a crowd? A rock star? Listen to Brian Stelter as he reported on the Saturday night event. This was on his show yesterday, clip 8.
As President Biden hits his one-year mark in office, Donald Trump hits a wall, repeating his usual lies at a rally in Arizona overnight. The rallies themselves are barely news anymore. What's newsworthy, what's interesting, is the way these rallies are covered, or the way they're ignored. Major networks and newsrooms mostly do ignore Trump's lies. ABC's morning show today, no mention of the rally. NBC, no mention of the rally. Even Fox and Friends only mentioned Trump a couple of times this morning. Fox did not hype the rally in advance. Fox did not air it live, did not play all the greatest hits afterward. They're much busier with Biden bashing. So Trump fans had to seek out smaller channels like Newsmax, One America News, and Right Side Broadcasting in order to get their fix. These channels treated the rally like a Super Bowl with hours of pregame coverage and live interviews from the scene. The truth about Trump's cult following is that it's a relatively narrow slice of America. Most Arizonans were not rushing to the rally. The vast majority of Americans don't care enough about politics to spend their Saturday night listening to a former president rant and rave. Most people didn't care, didn't give one hoot.
Right, they just don't care. Just a little narrow slice, that's all he has. I guess Joe Biden has a large slice of the pie, is that right? Is that what he's going to try to convince you to believe? His approval ratings are in the toilet, Joe Biden's. And here Donald Trump goes to a small town in the middle of nowhere, and out come 25, 30,000 people. Cars being turned away. And yet Stelter's right in that it's barely covered, and not even on Fox News. He talks about the little networks, you know, like Newsmax and OAN. OAN, just canceled by DirecTV. If you remember, it was Joe Biden. I'm not sure if we played this clip. We had it on the list all last week. But Joe Biden actually saying, you and the media, you and big tech, you got to do a better job of blotting out misinformation. And just a few days later, DirecTV announces, yeah, we're gonna nix OAN from our lineup. And then there's Brian Stelter bragging about the fact that nobody's covering this. That's not a point to brag about. That's shameful. If this is not a newsworthy event, what is? If you're in the business of politics and what's happening in the United States, who's the front runner for 2024 or whatever, and I know there's some Trump supporters who were disappointed to hear him talking about taking the White House back in 2024 because they're still upset about 2020. But still, is this a newsworthy event or not? You listen to Brian Stelter on the low-rated CNN news organization, and he's there gloating as if CNN is drawing in all of these viewers, and Donald Trump, nobody's paying attention to them. When was the last time they tried to ignore Donald Trump? Well, it's happened before, and he just keeps coming back. He just keeps coming back. Now, in watching the speech myself, there was nothing that just jumped out at me on Saturday night. But then to flip over to Fox, nothing. And then to hear Brian Stelter yesterday, nothing on any of the other networks. Nothing about, we have researchers on our staff trying to find, okay, what was the crowd size, anything about the event and so on. There's hardly anything in print media either. Why is that? It's because they want to blot them out. Just like Twitter did last January, a year ago. Twitter blots them out, and then Twitter stock just plummets. CNN, they've lost as many as 90% of their audience compared to a year ago. This is from Just the News. It says, Joe Rogan podcast reaches millions more than cable news. Joe Rogan has more than three times as many people per episode as his next greatest competitor, Tucker Carlson. So Tucker Carlson gets like 3.5, 3.6 million per show, which is a lot for cable news. Rogan, he gets 11 million. And it's not even because he's ultra conservative. Anybody that watches him very often can see that right away. But he just, like Jordan Peterson said about him, he just tells the truth. He doesn't lie to you. He doesn't come on his program and say, yeah, nobody pays attention to Donald Trump. Ann Coulter. Oh, he's finished. Why are you getting all worked up about Donald Trump? It's over. Joe Rogan just tells the truth. And he doesn't have all this bias. And 11 million people tune in. You compare that to some of the top shows on CNN. 800,000 viewers. Some down around 300,000, 400,000. 300,000, 400,000 for CNN? CNN's been around for more than 30 years. It says the Joe Rogan Experience reaches a reported 11 million people per podcast. Fox News reigns as the most watched cable news network, taking 10 of the top viewership 15 spots. The top cable news spot goes to Carlson. Conservative reporter Luke Rudowski pointed out Rogan's larger audience using 2021 quarter three ratings, the most recent data from, well, so on. It says, this is why they're afraid of Rogan, says Rudowski. They're afraid of him. Jordan Peterson tweeted out, good old, after seeing these statistics, 11 million compared to 3 million at Fox, compared to a few hundred thousand at CNN. Good old fringe Joe, he says, tongue in cheek. In other words, he's not on the fringe. The fringe is Brian Stelter. The fringe is CNN. So many lies, so much deception. And, of course, Donald Trump exposes it every time he shows up in front of a crowd such as that. They talk about the election as the big lie. They're the big lie, said Trump on Saturday night. He released a statement today about Morning Joe, how that their ratings are so low, they're having an extremely hard time finding an audience to listen to the fake news, said Donald Trump. The fake news. Losing them would be very sad. I hope it doesn't happen. I don't want to lose Joe and Mika, says Donald Trump. This is from Gallup. Listen to this. It says, on average, you heard about CNN's ratings plummeting just in a year. Just in 1 year. And then Twitter stock. It's about half of what it was worth a year ago. Half of what it was worth about 6 months ago, as I noted last week. Gallup, it says, on average, Americans' political party preferences in 2021 look similar to prior years, with slightly more U.S. adults identifying as Democrats or leaning Democratic than identified as Republicans. However, the general stability for the full year average obscures a dramatic shift over the course of 2021 from a 9 percentage point Democratic advantage in the first quarter to a rare 5-point Republican edge in the fourth quarter. You guys may have the graphic in the studio there, but if you pull this up, you can see a direction that's happened not just over the course of 5, 10, 15 years. We're talking about 12 months. And it's a pretty big sample size. Gallup surveyed 12,000 Americans. And at the start of 2021, you had for Democrats or people who identified themselves as Democrats or with Democrats, they had a 9% lead. And then now it's 5% in the direction of Republicans. That's a 14 percentage point swing. And so the trend lines are the same. The fake president's only been in there. There you can see the graphic. Look at the direction that red is going. Look at the direction that blue is going. And it's the same for Twitter's stock. It's the same for CNN's viewers. DirecTV can try to blot out OAN all that it wants. But look at the numbers. Hundreds of thousands tuning in at Right Side Broadcasting on Gettr or wherever else. I'm not sure what Newsmax. Newsmax was the only one on my cable carrier that carried the Trump speech live. And then there's Brian Stelter mocking them. Oh, the Trump cult. It's just a tiny little sliver. Just a tiny little piece of the pie. Right. Dream on. Who's telling the truth? Donald Trump says this crowd is a symbol. It shows that people are hungry for the truth. They're hungry for the truth. And they're just tuning out. They're tuning out networks like CNN. Steve Bannon on his podcast, I think this was from Saturday, he talked about how that, well, he's looking at this rally on Saturday night and all of the speakers that the Trump people invited to speak. And he sees this as the beginning of a decertification process that's going to begin in Arizona and carry on with some of those other controversial swing states where Joe Biden was able to steal the election on November 3rd, 2020. Listen to this Bannon clip, clip 9.
This is the kickoff to the 2022 campaign season with this massive rally in Florence, Arizona, in a battleground state. And it, the people has on they're very specifically chosen who's going to be up there. The reason is the decertification process is really kicking up next week in Arizona in the assembly. Get to the bottom of November 3rd and decertify Biden electors in Arizona, in Wisconsin, in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, in the great state of Georgia. Those four states, we are going to decertify all those electors. And then Joe Biden and the media and the tech oligarchs, you're going to have to deal with it, okay?
So we'll keep our eye on what Bannon reports on this next week. But even there, to just try to get a story here or there on what's happening inside the state legislatures, you know it's disturbing the communists because of, well, look at the voting rights speech that Joe Biden gave in Atlanta a week ago. Even his own party said this was extreme, the rhetoric. Peggy Noonan, she had a column on Friday after the final show for the week here ended, where she said this really damaged his presidency. He's illegitimate to begin with. But they are concerned. They are worried. Because if they can't federalize the voting in these states, if state legislatures have control, they're not going to be able to steal it. But it does, again, you look at the Trump rally being blotted out and then just trying to get to some news about all of the fraud that's been uncovered in Georgia, in Pennsylvania, in Wisconsin, in Arizona. Well, according to Bannon, he says it's the beginning of a decertification process for some of these states. We'll see. We'll see. You can dismiss it. People have. People have said, oh, there's no way that this could ever happen. But who are you more likely to believe? Brian Stelter or Steve Bannon? We'll see. We'll see. There's some unknowns here. We don't know how all this is going to play out. We just know that Donald Trump's coming back. And just think about this for a moment. As they make fun of Donald Trump, as they say, nobody's listening, it's just a tiny little sliver, their same reporters are saying, it's just been a disaster for Joe Biden. 33% approval ratings? Listen to this report from as it happens, it's from CNN, clip one.
Because now he's in the midst of what one famous children's book writer called a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad time. All week, the White House has watched as the headlines detailed a setback, a misstep, a miscalculation, COVID tests and spread, Biden's domestic agenda, foreign policy crises, crises plural. And it's all coming to a head on what is essentially the 1 year mark of Biden's term. His push to change Senate rules so he can pass voting rights, dead. His Build Back Better bill, at best, stalled. His vaccine mandate for big businesses, blocked. Consumer prices, soaring. COVID hospitalizations, surging. COVID tests and treatments, in short supply. And these are just the issues that Biden is facing in the United States.
Yeah, we'll not even get into the problems he's had abroad with Russia, North Korea, and on it goes. That's CNN. That's Brian Stelter's network. And yet Brian Stelter goes right on his show. He mocks the Trump rally. He talks about the obscure networks of OAN and Newsmax. And then this. Look at what this woman says about the fake president and his agenda. It's failed. That on Saturday Night Live, it's still on the air, surprisingly. It's not funny. But they mocked Joe Biden on Saturday Night Live. The same night Donald Trump brings in 25, 30,000 people to a tiny town in Arizona. There they are on SNL. They're making fun of Biden. They're making fun of the vaccines and all the COVID rules. There was even a reference to Joe Biden not winning the election. That's on Saturday Night Live. My father said back at the early part of November that the tide is beginning to turn. It's maybe taking a little longer than some of us were hoping, but the tide is beginning to turn. Listen to Chuck Todd from his show yesterday, clip two.
And a year after promising a change in tone,
we can join forces, stop the shouting, and lower the temperature.
President Biden has failed so far to do that.
Do you want to be on the side of Dr. King or George Wallace? Do you want to be on the side of John Lewis or Bull Connor?
So much for unifying the country.
Perhaps the president went a little too far in his rhetoric.
That's from Chuck Todd's report yesterday. He's failed. He came in just a year ago. We're coming up to the fake inauguration, I think on Thursday, the one-year anniversary. And he said, yeah, I'm going to bring the country together. And then listen to him last week in Atlanta. You consider what my father said back in early November, and then just look at what's happened in the 2.5 months since, or 2 months, I guess, 9, 10 weeks maybe. It wasn't that long after that statement by my father that Omicron breaks out, this mild flu or a cold, an ordinary cold, and then the scaremongering right away. And then the officials in South Africa saying, why are you overreacting? What is this about, Israel, Europe, the United States? And all the scaremongering here on networks like CNN, it pretty much backfired, didn't it? Because it exposed how ineffective the vaccines have been. It exposed how all of these rules and regulations, how they haven't worked. 2 years of lockdowns, masks, mandates, vaccines, and Omicron spreading like a wildfire. Djokovic, the superstar tennis player, he had his visa revoked for a second time, and then he's deported out of Australia. And Australian authorities admit it's not even about the COVID. It's about, look, we don't want to stir up any anti-vax sentiments because Djokovic isn't vaxxed. So it's all about politics, isn't it? There was a Newsweek piece. Get a load of this headline. Novak Djokovic saga causes refunds to outstrip ticket sales in the Australian Open. That's one of the big four tennis tournaments of the year. And there's more people seeking refunds than buying tickets. And this is after 2 years of lockdowns. People want to get out. People want to see a sporting event. But people are upset in Australia. They want their money back. They're showing support, solidarity with Djokovic. The tide is turning. The tide is turning. All kinds of reports about empty shelves, the worsening supply chain crisis. Look at the pictures coming in, and you're starting to hear more and more reporters, yes, even on CNN, say, the emptying shelves, this could get worse. Listen to this former CEO of Walmart and what he had to say over the weekend. Clip three.
So which is it? Is the supply chain solved, or are we still going to deal with this?
No, it's a shocking and unmitigated disaster right now. Our shelves and our stores look like the Soviet Union in 1972. And it's honestly a shock to Americans. It's never happened in our lifetime.
The Soviet Union. Wow. I mean, that's quite a comparison. And I saw a couple of tweets making a similar point just this morning. Fox News had a Chiron on Friday. The worst week ever for Joe Biden. Now, we touched on this theme on Friday's show, but there were quite a few stories that came out even after we finished with our program at noon from Breitbart. Joe Biden's no good, very bad, 24 hours. And then the Peggy Noonan piece, as I mentioned, it says about Biden. She builds her column around that fiery, angry speech in Atlanta, where Joe Biden basically said, all of my political opponents are racist. If you don't get behind my agenda, including two Democrats from his own party. And you've got commentators now coming forth
saying that these two, Manchin and Sinema, they're racist because they won't vote with Joe Biden because they won't blow up the filibuster. I think that's, yeah, clip six.
People like Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema, these are the white people that Martin Luther King Jr. warned us about. These are the white liberals who have no sense of urgency, commitment, or integrity when it comes to the progress of justice in the country. And that's just a fact. The other reality here, and Bernice mentioned it in that clip, the chief architect of this assault on voting rights is not Mitch McConnell. It's not David Duke. It's not whatever boogeyman you think is hiding under the closet. The chief architect is Chief Justice John Roberts. It is he who has been an enemy of voting rights and racial equality from his very first job out of law school.
There you go. John Roberts. He's the evil boogeyman. Oh, and Martin Luther King. He warned us about Joe Manchin, the Democrat. Peggy Noonan says, Biden thought he was merely appealing to his base with that Atlanta speech. He might have unified the rest of the country against him. Against him. You think Donald Trump's going away? You think he's finished? You have witnessed a seminal moment in the history of an administration, but it happened this week. The president's Tuesday speech in Atlanta on voting rights was a disaster for him. That was a disaster, says Peggy Noonan. She's no fan of Trump. It says the speech was aggressive, intemperate, not only offensive, but meant to offend. And so many of these other talking heads, they're just dismissing Trump like he's done. He's done for. Nobody watches. Nobody pays attention. Is anybody paying attention to Joe Biden? Joe Biden's not even running the country. Joe Biden's just a figurehead. Joe Biden's just a puppet on a string. I saw a tweet from someone today jokingly saying that the reason he's over in the fake Oval Office across the street when he tapes his little announcements is because Barack Obama's in the real Oval Office. Now, there's a lot of truth to that. The whole staff at the White House, it's Obama people. This is Obama's third term, as we've said so many times before. Noonan writes, by the end, he looked like a man operating apart from the American conversation, not at its center. This can be fatal to a presidency. This is the man you're looking at right there on the graphic. That's the man that has a tiny little sliver of the American pie. He's, as Noonan says, he's not even in the conversation. Says here in the speech, Mr. Biden claimed he stands against the forces in America that value power over principle. Last year, Georgia elected two Democrat senators. And what's been the reaction of Republicans in Georgia? Choose the wrong way, the undemocratic way. To them, too many people voting in a democracy is a problem. She's quoting Biden throughout. They want to suppress the right to vote as if that's a problem in the United States. In 2020, there were 158 million people who voted. There were 158 million ballots. There weren't that many that voted, but that's a lot of ballots. Compared to 2016, 139 million voted. And these people screaming racist at every turn are saying that the problem here is not enough votes are counted. He's worried about who counts the votes. Who counts the votes? A lot of votes got counted in 2020, including the fraudulent ones. And this is what that's about. The voting rights legislation that's not going through. It's about allowing the cheating to continue. And if that doesn't continue, it's these individuals, these communists with a small sliver of the electorate that are going to suffer at the ballot box. Who is telling the truth? Is it Stelter? Is it Joe Biden? Is it Barack Obama? Is it Steve Bannon? Is it Donald Trump? We will soon find out. That's for sure. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet daily. If you'd like to email the program, you can email us at td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily.
Education is something most people take for granted. We assume it is something one acquires after graduating from a college or university. Yet the 20th century knowledge explosion has done little to solve the problems of this world. Crime, broken families, suicide, disease, mass illiteracy, and poverty. Why, in a world filled with so much advanced material knowledge, are there so many unsolvable problems? Why, after 6,000 years, has mankind been unable to find the solution to its escalating evils or to the number one problem it now faces, that of human survival? Our free booklet, Education with Vision, will show you what is wrong with education today. It will show you what is true education with vision and how to achieve it. Request your free copy of Education with Vision at our website, thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
It's easy to look at the sin of idolatry and just think that, oh, well, that's something that is definitely Old Testament. I mean, I'm not putting up, this pagan statue in the heart of my living room. But idolatry is very common today. More widespread, no doubt, than even in the Old Testament times, even in ancient Israel, when they opened their borders wide, and all of this foreign influence, all of these false gods, made their way into the Israelite camp. That's just been Israel's history. Romans 1 and verse 20, it says, "Ever since the creation of the world, His invisible nature, namely His eternal power and deity, has been clearly perceived in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse." I mean, you can look at God's creation. You can look at the creativity, at the beauty, the order, the orderliness, the structure, as we've covered recently, 1 Corinthians 14. And you can see God's handiwork. You can see God's creative genius. Verse 21, it says in the Revised Standard, "For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, but they became futile in their thinking and their senseless minds were darkened." See, they knew God, but they became vain because of this downward pull of human nature. And God says the world just became futile and empty in its thinking. So much worthlessness, so much vanity, so much carnal reasoning. Certainly not reasoning together with God, like it says in Isaiah 1 and verse 18, I believe. Verse 22, it says, "Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things." So the incorruptible, immortal Creator God, and with all of this unmatched glory, and what does man do? What has been the history of man? Well, to take something in this material creation and to make a god out of that, rather than worshiping the true God who made the universe, who created the material creation, who made human beings made in the image and likeness of God, Genesis 1 and verse 26. Verse 23 again in the Revised Standard, it says, "And exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man, or birds, or animals, or reptiles." Now that's describing most of religion throughout the ages. Even, as I say, even ancient Israel got into this. Think about the golden calf there in Exodus 32. Moses goes away for just a short time, and next thing you know, all the Israelites, they say, "Well, Moses is gone. Let's make a god. Let's worship this golden calf." My father, in a message recently, talked about just some of the the appalling acts of evil and violence and child abuse that Israel got involved in when they drifted far from God, it doesn't take long for human nature to turn to, you know, serpent worship or bowing down before heavenly bodies or physical objects, bodies of water, whatever it is. I mean, man has made a god out of it. Man has worshipped an idol made from this earth, the substance of this earth. Verse 25, it says, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creation more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So again, Paul's pointing us back to this incorruptible, omnipotent God and saying, give God thanks, worship God. I mean, just think about all this in the context of today, where so many commentators, like we cover in the first segment often, they just worship themselves. They worship the human intellect. They talk about truth, truth, truth. I mentioned that speech by Joe Biden a while back where he referred to truth. He has the truth. Said it 18, 19 times. And then you hear CNN, they talk about the little that they do talk about, a Trump rally. They just say, he's there to tell lies, 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 lies. These people view themselves as God, basically. They're in place of God. They know more than God. And even when they're proven wrong, they can't admit it, as I've said so many times before. There's absolutely no humility, no meekness, no willingness to evaluate self and say, you know, we got it wrong. Who in their right mind would look at a political rally in the middle of nowhere, drawing 25, 30,000 people with police officers turning away cars, a 25-mile line of cars, and then someone getting up on television saying, nobody showed up. It was a non-event. It's just a tiny, tiny line, a tiny, tiny little cult. That's all that it is. Exodus chapter 20. It says here, and God spoke all these words, saying, I am the eternal your God, which have brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. This is God communicating to his ancient nation of Israel, saying, I've delivered you from all of these pagan practices, from captivity, from slavery. It says in verse 3, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall put nothing else, no one else, in place of me. God wants first place in our hearts. This is the first and great commandment. And anything that would get in the way of that, he says, now that ought to be crushed and obliterated. God comes first, Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom. Seek first the righteousness of God. Verse 4, it says, you shall not make unto you any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above. So anything on earth, anything in heaven above, that's everything. That's all encompassing. Or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down yourself to them nor serve them, for I am the eternal your God. I, the eternal your God, am a jealous God. So it's not enough that we get the first and great commandment. God inspired a second one where he gets into the specifics of how we worship. He doesn't want anything interfering with our worship of the true God. In our booklet, the Ten Commandments booklet, it says, this commandment condemns idolatrous religious practices. God is the great educator. He demands that we worship him in the manner he chooses. That's from our Ten Commandments booklet. You can order a free copy of it, no cost, no obligation. The operators are standing by, 1-866-930-3024. That's the toll-free number if you live in the United States, Canada, the Caribbean. 1-866-930-3024. Request the Ten Commandments. Again, God says that we are to worship Him a certain way. He doesn't want us fixating on some physical object or image in place of Him. Now, there certainly are things in the physical realm that really help us to understand God. The family, for example, the institution of family, marriage and family. The fact that God is a family. The fact that when we marry, it's like what the church is going to do when it marries Jesus Christ. And when family, when a married couple reproduce, when they produce a child, this is a type of spiritual salvation. So there's all kinds of things that, in that sense, help us to just understand God and His purpose more deeply, more completely. But He doesn't want physical aids to supplement our worship in that sense. Leviticus 26, 1 and 2, it says, "You shall make you no idols nor graven images, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall you set up any image of stone in your land or bow down unto it. For I am the Eternal your God. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Eternal." Just keep the commandments of God. Look into the Holy Bible, the Word of God, and observe those precious commandments. Observe the Sabbath command. Observe it in the way that God says that we should. Keep it holy, it says about that command. There's others as well, but God says 6 days you shall work, and on the seventh, that's a day of rest. Keep it holy. Strive for purity in all things, and avoid the sin of idolatry. Mr. Armstrong, Herbert Armstrong, listen to what he had to say many, many years ago. This is from his autobiography. He said, "Every person has his idol." Every person has his idol. For Mr. Armstrong, it was an egotistical sense of self-importance, a desire to attain status among his peers. He wanted to make money. He wanted to be important. You can read about that story in the autobiography. It's also there in the introduction of Mystery of the Ages. But just going back to that first statement, every person has an idol. Every one of us. And we've got to go to God for help and power to crush that idol. Maybe it's self-love or vanity, putting self first. Maybe it's celebrity worship. There's a lot of that in the world today. People who want to wear certain things or do things that the celebrities do. People that pay thousands and thousands of dollars to follow celebrities around everywhere that they go. Maybe it's the pursuit of materialism. We've certainly had a lot of prosperity in Manasseh here in the United States, biblical Manasseh. Just an explosion of growth and prosperity in the last 60, 70 years. And it's made us a spoiled people. We've grown thick or fat, as Paul said, or rather as Moses said about the Israelites of old. Maybe it's seeking after pleasure. Pleasure seeking, that separates a lot of people from their God. The pleasures of this world, it chokes the life out of so many of God's people. Look at what's happened to the Laodiceans. That parable of the seeds, the sower and the seed, and the seeds that were planted and life springs forth. But the weeds of this world choke the life out of that newly begotten Christian. Pleasure-seeking has destroyed a lot of people, spiritually speaking. Same with addictions. Maybe it's a family breakdown, divorce, upside down family. A lot of people make an idol out of their career. They just pursue one career exploit after another, even if it hurts or damages the marriage and the family. What was it Mr. Armstrong said? Every person has his idol. And whatever it is, if it's ahead of God, then it becomes a false god. It can be your spouse even. If it's ahead of God, it becomes a false god. It becomes an idol. It interferes with our relationship with God. And your Bible says that if that happens, then that idol needs to be crushed. Not literally, but in our hearts. And we need to get the right priorities set to where God has first place, no matter what, no matter the circumstances. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 6, I referred to this earlier today in our doctrines class, but it says in verse 6, "Now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted." Don't lust after things like the ancient Israelites did. These lessons are there for us. God is proving a point, or he did with ancient Israel. They had this ideal environment. They had God's law. They had righteous leaders. And yet, as Mr. Armstrong brings out in chapter 5 of Mystery of the Ages, that's in this book right here, this is like a magnificent summary of Herbert Armstrong's ministry. If you don't have a copy, order your free copy of Mystery of the Ages today, 1-866-930-3024. But as Mr. Armstrong explains in chapter 5, Israel had it all, but they didn't have God's Spirit. The leaders did. They were to be part of the foundation of the true church. But ancient Israel as a whole, they didn't have the heart to obey. And so God was proving that even with all of this uplifting environment, even with the laws of God, even with righteous leadership, without the Spirit of God, human beings are incapable of obeying God from the heart. And then you look at 1 Corinthians 10 here, and Paul says, look, all of the examples that you read about in the Old Testament, it's really meant for us, spiritual Israel, the Israel of God, the church. And God says, don't make the mistakes that they made anciently. I mean, you in the church, you have God's Spirit. You have the power of God. Verse 7, it says, neither be you idolaters. This is New Testament teaching here. Neither be you idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. That's the King James obscuring the meaning here. They sat down to eat and drink. Moses went away. And I mean, they got into an orgy of evil behavior. Built the golden calf and so on. And notice down in verse 14, it says, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Just flee from it. Run in the other direction. That's what God's instruction is to those who find themselves in a sinful environment. Just get out of it. Just flee the scene like Joseph did with Potiphar's wife. Just run away. Run away from idolatry. I mean, this right here shows us just how easy it is to go right along with the crowd, to go right along with the masses, to just do what everyone else is doing, even if it's unbiblical, even if it's sinful. Paul says, look, if you can examine that Old Testament history, here are a few takeaways. Here are some important lessons that you can take away from that history. One of them is to flee, to run away from idolatry. And as Mr. Armstrong said, we all have it. We're all guilty of it. And we need God's help to crush that idol. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining us on today's show, and we'll see you again tomorrow.